This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a community church located in Aurora, Illinois. For more information, go to orchardvalleyonline.com.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
Merry Christmas, little fella. We know that you're in there and that you're all alone.
Yeah, come on, kid, open up. It's Santa Claus and his elf.
We're not gonna hurt you.
No. Got some nice presents for you.
Be a good little fella now and open the door.
What happened?
Get that little... Hello?
Oh man, what a great movie, Home Alone. How many of you ever seen the movie Home Alone? Yeah, you guys like it. Got some Home Alone fans. Well, you know, it's perhaps not a Christmas classic in the sense of White Christmas or Miracle on 34th Street, but it's a great one nonetheless. Macaulay Culkin, right? He's left home alone in Chicago while his family is vacationing over the Christmas holidays in France. Okay, that is not a good scenario. And then, of course, Macaulay ends up having to fend for himself as two thieves do everything they can to break in and wreak havoc in the home. It's crazy stuff. You know, it's never fun to be home alone, especially during the holiday season. I mean, it's a tough time to be alone. There are a lot of reasons that people are alone. For some, a close loved one, maybe a husband or a wife or a dad or mom has passed away. Perhaps even like it is for me and my own family, who not too long ago lost our father. We sometimes even still, you know, just find ourselves scratching our heads, asking ourselves if it's true that this man who we love so much is really gone. You know, for others, loneliness is a part of their lives due to a divorce or a separation. And then perhaps there are those who are far away from those they love. Maybe they're serving in the military, in Iraq, and they're away from the ones they love so much and will sadly spend this Christmas far away from their family. For some, even though they're surrounded by a lot of people in their lives, they still feel alone. And they still struggle with how to break out of this dark place called loneliness. But you know, whatever the reason, the bottom line is loneliness is difficult. And of course, the realization, I think the realization that you are alone becomes even greater during the holidays. And I don't know if that's because of just the nostalgia that comes along with the holidays or just the celebratory nature of Christmas. But, you know, being alone during Christmas, or I mean really even just in life, is something that so many people deal with in their lives. These past few weeks, we have been preparing ourselves for a Christmas celebration. We've been in a short series entitled Christmas Classics. And a few weekends ago, Ted had a great talk on the symbolism behind the Christmas tree. Great message. And last weekend, I talked about forgiveness and how important it is that we are not only recipients of forgiveness, but how we also should be givers of forgiveness and how important that is. Well, today I want to talk about loneliness. The 17th century English poet John Milton once made a great point when he said, loneliness was the first thing in God's eye named not good. Mother Teresa once said that it's easier to feed a hungry stomach than to heal a lonely and empty heart. And how true I think that is. Loneliness is very real, and of course it is very, very difficult. And all over this world, and especially during the Christmas season, there are people who are suffering and struggling and hurting their way through a season that for so many of us represents joy and giving and happiness. And I think it's important that we, as a church community, that we don't forget about those who are alone this time of the year. I think we all agree with that. Amen. I remember as a young person growing up in, probably many of you can relate to this. But I remember growing up and going through those difficult situations in life that, you know, you go through when you're 12 years old. And I remember just thinking to myself, man, you know, my parents just don't understand what I'm going through. And because as far as I was concerned, my parents were never 12. You know what I mean? Or if they were 12, they certainly didn't struggle with the type of things I struggled with as a 12-year-old, right? And it's interesting because as I got older and as I moved into those older teenage years, you know, 18, 19, when you really do know everything, right? And even in my early 20s, I begin to realize that the challenges that I was facing as a teenager was nothing new to people like my mom and dad, that they, in fact, had gone through the same things I'd gone through. And I remember, especially my dad, just getting to know him more and more as I got older, realizing that he was indeed a human. And that he had indeed gone through the things and that he had journeyed down very similar paths that I had journeyed through and had struggled. And he had made his way through difficult things in life like I had. And, you know, it's interesting because the more that I journey in my relationship with my Heavenly Father, And the more that I really begin to open up the scriptures and read and study and devote my life to them, the more I begin to see that just like our earthly parents, God has been where I am. And God can relate to where I'm at in life. Just like my earthly mom, my earthly dad can relate, even though we don't think so. And there's times we say there's no way they understand. God understands. The problem is sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget, just like teenagers, we forget that God understands. Grief and pain and sorrow and loneliness, these things are nothing new to God. And because of that, I think God has a special place in his heart for people who are lonely. In fact, as you journey through the scriptures, you'll find a God who not only understands our loneliness, but a God who experienced loneliness firsthand when he laid down his divinity and he embraced humanity and came to us in the form of a baby named Jesus, which is, of course, what our Christmas celebration is all about. Our God, our Creator, of whom there is none like, leaves the ultimate imperfection and purity and goodness to come to a place that has just been absolutely ravaged by sin. So, what does this have to do with loneliness? Well, what does God think about loneliness? How does God expect us as followers of Jesus to deal with loneliness? Does he want us to be lonely? I mean, does he want times like this? I mean, does he want times like this Christmas to be miserable times and moments when we become so paralyzed by loneliness that we miss out on the joy surrounding this holiday season? Well, the Bible gives us great hope. And this morning, I want to take a few minutes and I want to journey through some things and I want to talk to you about this whole loneliness thing because it is so very real for so many of us. And I know that there are probably those of you in this room right now who are really suffering and struggling with loneliness in your life. And I want to bring you hope this morning from God. Let's begin with one of the most basic truths about the Christmas season. All over the world, we celebrate, don't we? We celebrate Christmas. And we celebrate big, but I think what we don't always do a very good job of is celebrating the why behind it. I mean, you know, we're glad that Jesus came and it's a great story and shepherds were tending their flocks and an angel appears and Jesus is born, not in a castle, not in the Hilton Hotel. He is born in a stable. And I think that if there's anything that we can learn from this beautiful season, that this beautiful event, it's this. Christ left his home in heaven so we wouldn't have to be alone. Christ left his home in heaven so that you and I wouldn't have to be alone. And he did it because of his love. He did it because we matter to him. You matter to him. I matter to him. And because mankind was in such desperate need for God's help. In fact, Isaiah 59:2 reminds us of the sad fact that says this: our iniquities have separated us from God, and our sins have hidden our face from him. Did you catch that? Our iniquities, our sins, our moral failures have separated us from God. And you see, God is holy. God is pure. God is infallible. But of course, we, on the other hand, are fallible. Man, we are sin-ridden. We are depraved. I mean, we are messed up people. And our sinfulness has caused this cosmic chasm between ourselves and God. And I think it's that loneliness that we all experience in our lives that really end up leading us to a personal relationship with our Creator. Look, God could have said, well, you know what? I see the dilemma. I see the cosmic chasm. Well, you know what? I don't want to mess with those humans. They're a bunch of screw-ups. You know, I'm not going to waste my time with them. And he could have done other things, I guess. But he didn't. Because he didn't want us to experience large levels of loneliness. So he sent Jesus Christ to pay the ultimate price on a tree for the sins of the world. So when we talk about loneliness, we have a Savior who can relate. We have a God who has been there and done that. Do you realize that the Bible says, in fact, in Matthew chapter 27, that when Christ was paying for your sins, this is heavy, when Christ was paying for your sins and mine on the cross, that God the Father could not even wink at sin. He could not even look at it. So he had to turn his back on his own precious Son. And as Jesus hung on the cross, barely hanging on to his life, the Bible tells us that he, from the cross, said, "My God, Dad, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Why this loneliness?" And that is a lonely moment. And that is a moment that you and I will probably never, ever experience. I mean, it's even so difficult to imagine. I mean, I suppose it was like complete abandonment. Except, see, it wasn't just being abandoned by his Father. He was being abandoned by the very Creator of the world, by God. Yet he did it so that you and I would never have to experience true loneliness in our lives. He did it for you and for me and for all of mankind. And as humans, you and I, we have this hole. We have something missing in our lives that can only be filled by our Creator. And the problem comes in when you and I, and most of us do this often, we try to fill that hole with something other than him. Man, do we do that. We try everything we can think of to fill that void, to fill that hole. And that is so many of our stories in this room. I know so many of you have the same story that after trying and trying and trying to fill this void with whatever you could come up with, maybe it's money, maybe it's stuff, maybe it's humans, relationships. And sooner or later, we come to this realization that there is only one thing that can fill that hole, and that is Jesus. He's the only one who will fill your deepest level of loneliness. So where are you this morning in your journey of following Christ? You know, I know there's some of you who are really curious about what it means to follow Christ, and perhaps you grew up in a religious environment. You know, maybe you walked away from the church and you're just not sure really where you stand right now with God or even what you believe about Jesus. And others of you, you know, maybe you've recently begun taking steps in your journey of following Jesus, and you would admit, just like any of us hopefully would, that we don't have it all figured out, and it just doesn't all totally make sense, but we know that it's the right way, and so we're taking steps forward. I just want to say this, regardless of where you're at today in your journey, you are being invited by God to take a step forward on that journey with Him. So first realize that Jesus left His home in heaven so you don't have to be alone. If you have your bulletins, actually, there's a place you can write these down inside. There's a scripture found in Hebrews chapter 13 that is probably one of the most comforting scriptures that a person can cling to during these lonely moments of life. Hebrews chapter 13. By the way, this tea in my hand, I'm not holding it just to look cool. I got just a horrible throat deal going on, so pardon me if I am going cheers to you. Anyway, it's that eggnog that Ted was talking about. Anyway, Hebrews 13:5, the writer reminds us of a powerful promise. He says this, what an awesome promise. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. It's His promise to you. It's His promise to me that He will never, ever leave us. So as followers of Christ, we need to stay aware of God's presence in our lives. We need to stay aware. Key word, stay aware. Everyone say stay aware. And now say stay awake. Okay. But we need to stay aware of the fact that He never leaves us. He never, ever, ever leaves us. But see, what happens, I think, is the tendency is we lose our awareness of His presence in our life. And this usually happens when we focus less on Him and more on ourselves and more on other things and worries and concerns. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet calls Christ Emmanuel. It's a word we hear a lot this time of the year. And Emmanuel is the Hebrew phrase for God with us. It's not God was with us. It's not God one day will be with us. It's God with us right now. God is with us always. I'm preaching better than you all are responding this morning. And again, I think that if you think about what we're celebrating this time of the year, we're celebrating this fact that God is with us. Everyone say, God is with me. And we're celebrating right now the fact that God came down here to this earth in the form of a man who He was born as a baby. And then, of course, the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, promised us that He would never leave us or forsake us. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was given to us. And the Bible tells us that when you and I, when we bow our knee to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And that means that wherever I go, God goes. And He is with us. He is Emmanuel. And it's a powerful thing. Think about this for a minute. The companionship of Christ is I think, one of the things that separates Christianity from all the other world religions. I mean, think about this. You don't hear, and I say this respectfully, but you don't hear Buddhists talk about the companionship of Buddha. You don't hear those of the Islam persuasion talking about the companionship of Muhammad. But the Bible says that the companionship of Christ is available to anyone at any time. That means we can have a dialogue with Him. We can talk to Him. We can cry to Him. We can express our deepest longings to Him. Are you doing that? See, here's what we do. Some of us, we intellectually know that we're to constantly pursue the presence of Christ. And we say, yes, I know that's good. But the reality is we don't do it. We think that other things will do it. We think that relationships will do it. And singles. And single people fall into this category often. They think that if they get hooked up with that special someone, then it will solve this loneliness problem, this loneliness issue. And then what happens is they go on their spouse hunt, believing that once married, they will never have to deal with a deep level of loneliness again. After the marriage, just fast forward the tape a couple of years, he or she wakes up one day, looks at the spouse, and while perhaps acknowledging that the marriage is good and decent, realizes that there is still loneliness. And that is why a daily pursuit of God is something that must be foundational in our lives. As a single person, as a married, as a divorced, whatever you are, wherever you're at in life, constantly pursue the presence of Christ. And really, if you think about it, this is really all about just raising our awareness of God's presence that is always there. You know, our society, our culture does a great job of raising awareness for a lot of things. We wear rubber bracelets, don't we? You know, to remind ourselves of a cause. We put pins on, and I think that's great. But what are we doing to raise awareness of God's presence in our lives? And I'm not suggesting we go out and, you know, put Christian bumper stickers on our cars and all that kind of stuff. But there are a lot of ways, I think, to raise your awareness of God's presence in your life. There are a lot of ways to raise God's presence, the awareness of God's presence in your life. One of those ways is through praying. And when you pray, when you talk to God, it will increase your awareness that God is a part of your life. Man, talking to God, conversing with your Creator. Because look, you can't talk to God and not be aware of His presence in your life. If you talk to Him, you're going to be thinking of Him. You won't always feel like He's there, but when you talk to Him, you're thinking about God. You're aware. Another great way of raising your awareness of God's presence in your life is by meditating on His written word. Everyone say meditating. Look, find a version or translation of the Bible that you connect with. Now, for me, I really enjoy reading the New Living Translation. Some of you are new to the Bible. This would be a great one for you to get, or the Message Paraphrase. And by the way, let me just say this. Meditating is not the same thing as reading. You can read the Bible and get absolutely nothing out of it. Just like any other book you read, you can read the words and not be paying attention, especially if you're kind of ADD like me. You can read it and go, okay, I just read 2 pages. I have no idea what I just read. Meditating is different than reading. Meditating is taking the time to reflect on and ask questions about what you've just read. I'll tell you, for me, you know, I'll get up early in the morning, come here to the office, and I'll open up the Bible, and I've been reading in the Old Testament recently, and I'll open up a scripture, I'll find a scripture, and I'll just stop at that scripture and say, okay, what does this mean? What was the writer trying to say here? And not only that, but how does this apply to my life in the year 2005? And I'll write it in my journal, and I'll have that scripture, and all day I'll just think of that scripture, and sometimes God, 8 hours later, will remind me of that scripture and how it applies to my life. That is meditating on the scriptures. And that's a great way to be aware of God's presence. Here's another way. Another way that you and I can become more aware of God's presence is through the discipline of silence. Silence. I mean, just getting quiet before God. I mean, if there was ever a time that this isn't easy, it's the year 2005. I mean, you know, the tendency we have is to run and run and run and run, and we get busy, we turn on the iPod, you know, well, I've got to be doing something, we turn on the TV or the radio, and we talk and we talk and we talk, da-da-da-da, but God says, listen, be still. I think the Greek word for that is like, shut up. And know that I am God. Be still. Shut your mouth, and listen to God. I feel a song coming. But very seldom do we just stop and be quiet. I tell you what, silence is a tremendous way to make ourselves more aware of God's presence in our life. You should try it sometime. Really, I mean, just take some time and just be quiet. And you'll be aware of God in a way you maybe have never been aware of Him. There are a lot of ways to become more aware of God's presence. In fact, in your bulletins, I put a question: in what ways can I become more aware of God's presence in my life? You know, there's been times I've just been in conversation with someone, and I've been more aware of God's presence at that moment. There's been times that I have been looking at a piece of art, listening to a piece of music, and I just become aware of God's presence in a real way. It's an amazing thing. So there's a lot of ways to become more aware of God's presence. You should take some time to sit down and write those out. Now, before I describe one last thing this morning, let me ask you to look in your bulletins. I have three letters, A, B, and C. And let me explain these to you real quick. A, is a level of loneliness that can only be met by God himself. We sort of talked about that already, that there are just some issues in life, there are some needs that only God can fulfill. You all got that, right? Only God, there are some needs that only God can fulfill. The problem comes in when we try to meet those needs our own way. A represents needs and issues that only God can meet. B is a level of loneliness that can be met by other humans, and we'll talk about that in just a second. C is an interesting one. C is a level of loneliness that we cannot meet. And I'm convinced that you can go to seminary or cemetery or wherever you might want to go. Boom, boom. Okay, sorry. Dave, you got that, didn't you? All right, anyway. And he didn't laugh either. But I mean, look, you can go to seminary, you can study Greek and Hebrew and Swahili, and you can hang out with the most spiritual and Christ-centered man and woman in the world, and you still won't be able to fill level C loneliness. And that's because I believe that there is a loneliness, there is something within us that can only be quenched when we enter into eternity. I really believe that. I believe there is something on the inside of us that yearns and longs for something that we'll never get on this earth, and it'll only come to us when we enter into eternity. We don't have time to get into that today, but let's talk about B, the need that comes through relationships with people, seeking and cultivating authentic community. That's number three. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. We have got to seek and cultivate authentic community with others. Let's look at the book of Genesis real quick before we go. Let's talk about God creating. God, how many of you know God is a creative creator? He is like the ultimate in creative. That's why I think when I hear someone say, I'm just not creative, I think they should go to that Greek word we just talked about and be quiet and say, no, I am made in the image of a creative God, and I do have creative power within me. And I got a whole story something I'll share with you about creativity and how God just sparked that in me, which is a very simple prayer. But you and I were made in the image of God, and God is the most creative being ever, 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 and we were made in that same image. So God created the plants, he created the animals, he created the trees and the grass and the flowers. And after all of that, God steps back and he says, it's good. And then he took a step back a little bit further, and the scriptures tell us that God took the initiative to make someone in his image. So he created man. And you know what God said after he created man? He said, it is very good. And Adam and God sort of had this, like this level A thing going on. Adam's level A loneliness was satisfied through a relationship with God. But God saw something that troubled him. God saw a level B loneliness, and it inspired him to do something about it. In fact, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. It's like that quote we heard earlier from John Milton. This is the first time in the scriptures that God says something is not good. Genesis 2:18, he said, it is not good, Adam, for you to be alone. And so think about what God does. God doesn't deny it. He doesn't go into denial. He doesn't try to explain it away. What did he do? God creates woman, someone that man could seek and cultivate authentic community with. And then came children and families. Look, our loneliness mattered so much to God that it caused him to take this initiative. And every time that I seek out a relationship, every time that you cultivate authentic community, we are simply reflecting the fact that we are made in the image of a relational God. We were made this way. And there is something I believe within every single one of us, even those of us who are introverted people, there is a longing, there is a desire to be in relationship with others. Last week, my daughter, Elise, turned 6 years old. And we all hopped in the car. We took her to Build-A-Bear, her and a bunch of friends. And I'm still twitching from that event. So we decided to take her. She wanted to get her ears pierced. So we took her to get her ears pierced. And it was just the cutest sight in the world, okay? Elise is sitting in this chair. And she's getting ready to get her ears pierced, and on both sides of her is her little support system, okay? And it wasn't her mom and dad. It was her little friends holding her hands on both sides saying, "You go, girl. You can do it. It won't hurt." And they're like rubbing her arms and they're like, "You go." And she's like, "Okay, I can do this." I mean, here was my 6-year-old daughter already engaging in authentic 5- and 6-year-old community. I mean, they were fired up. I walk into any coffee shop. In any coffee shop, you're going to see people connecting. It's almost like there's this radar for relationships and community that begins when we're, I don't know, maybe 3 years old or younger even, and goes all the way, you know, we could be 70 years old and there's this radar going and it's saying, we have got to have people, I've got to have relationships, community. It's God-given. So what about you? Do you have it? We're designed to live in relationship with God, level A. We're also to have deep and dynamic relationships with a few others, which will meet our level B needs. Do you have those in your life? Community is all about knowing and being known. It is about loving and being loved. Do you have a desire for people to know you? Man, I do. I tell you, I want to be known by other people. I want other people to know the real Scott Hodge. And see, yet most of the time we don't do that because of fear. Deep down, we desire it. But we really don't want it because there's fear. We think that if they saw our portfolio of failures, if they had the keys to our lockbox, they might think that we're just kind of weird or strange. We'll go out to eat with people. We'll play golf with people. We'll even go on. We'll even travel with people. Yet we know in our heart of hearts that we're not really known. And that's one of the things that are so important to us here at The Orchard, and that's why we're so excited about small groups and these kind of things, because small groups are, they're made up of single and married mixed groups that meet together outside of the walls of this church for the single purpose of creating authentic community. Because we believe that that's where it happens. It is in community that life change really occurs in our lives. And sure, the Bible says come together in a gathering like this, worship God, and yet after we worship in a big place, we see in the book of Acts that we're to meet together from house to house, and that, I think, is the New Testament model of a biblically functioning community, and that's what we're going to do here at The Orchard. We're going to engage in community. So I want to encourage you, connect to get companionship, and also let me just say this before we close, connect before the crisis. Because the fact is, we all go through difficult times. And can I tell you, when you start going through difficult times of life, you really don't have the energy and the strength to begin going out and trying to develop friendships and relationships. Do it while you're well. Do it while before you enter the crisis, so that when you get into the crisis, you have that network, you have those people around you that can lift you up and can encourage you and pray for you and be there for you. Connect before the crisis. So, where are you today? I mean, in the midst of family and friends, during this festive time of the year, are you home alone? Are you dealing in your heart with large levels of loneliness? I challenge you today to realize that Christ has left his home so that you wouldn't be alone. And I challenge you today to radically pursue the presence of Christ. And I challenge you to cultivate authentic community with others. And I think that as you do that, you will never truly be home alone again. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are just so thankful, God, that we do have a creator. We have a God who can relate to us and who's been where we've been. And God, we thank you that you have promised to never, ever leave us. or forsake us. And God, I just even sense in my heart right now that there are those in this room who are really, really hurting. They are really struggling right now. And God, they need to know that you're there. And I pray that as they walk out of here today, that they would have a renewed passion to constantly, constantly pursue your presence. To be constantly aware that you are there. And that you will never leave them, never forsake them. God, we purpose in our hearts today to radically pursue your presence. God, we purpose in our hearts to cultivate authentic community with others. And God, we also realize and we are so thankful that you left your home so that we wouldn't have to be alone. We're so thankful for that. And we pray now and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.